AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B money. We up. Take Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
Exquisite.
Exquisite. The level has just gone regal.
Speak on it.
There's R&B royalty in the building.
And royalties.
in the building.
Yeah, yes, it is.
One of the greatest songwriters of our generation.
Ever walked this planet Earth.
Ever walked this planet Earth.
You guys are kind.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jonte Austin.
Wow.
Is in the
building.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really kind welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, he's here. He's suited and booted.
Because we believe it.
Yes. Oh, no. You got shit, you are.
Thank you. Cemented, brother.
Thank you. I wore my suit for you guys.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You were doing this when I was trying.
Oh, man.
All of
thank
us.
You.
I was trying. I saw you. You know, I remember when one of your first big checks, you got one of your first big checks. This was probably 98,
mm-hmm.
maybe. Was it 98?
Yeah.
And you got that Jaguar four-door that everybody wanted.
No, it was the Benz.
No. The Jaguar Bubble Eye?
No, Jazzy had the Bubble Eye. I had the 550.
The 550. Why did I think you had the...
No, I had the 550 and I had Dubs.
In 98, right?
Yeah.
I remember your car was way better than anything I'd ever thought.
Thank you.
I'd get. And I was just watching. I was just like, yeah, he's like, Tank, you too. If you You keep writing these songs, man. You too can be like John Tate. Absolutely. I want to be like John Tate.
Yes. Now, now I'm washing lettuce. Oh, and then I'll be on the fries. It's like it was the
nigga,
progression.
I was just mopping,
remember,
nigga.
You just mopping. I started out in the cars too.
You had your own McDonald's, nigga.
Right. You had your own McDonald's.
Absolutely.
Early.
Yeah.
Early. I mean, I think, you know, we got to go back there. We got to go back to the beginning, even before the Sweet Ladies and all these things. Let's go back to the beginning.
Where you from, bro?
I'm from Atlanta.
You from Atlanta?
From Atlanta?
Southwest Atlanta.
Southwest.
Okay. Okay. Oh, you from the SWATs?
Yeah. I am grown. From the SWATs.
Yeah. Is that what that's called?
Yeah, they call it the SWATs.
The SWATs.
Yeah. I didn't know that. From the SWATs. Absolutely.
Well, let's go back to the SWATs.
Okay, let's do it.
When somebody said, "What that boy Jonte, boy, that boy got something special."
Man.
There's something on him.
Yeah. Yeah. I started out in church, I think just probably like most of us did, singing and, you know, I was doing television stuff like commercials and
singing on television.
No, just like acting.
Oh shit! Okay,
you were in Kids Incorporated, right?
Kids Beat. I had Kids Beat. Okay. And Real News for Kids on Turner Broadcasting on TBS, CNN, and you know that's when Ted Turner was still the head of the company. And
how old are you doing all this? Yeah.
I was 13.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I did it from like 13 to 17.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get in that?
I initially landed it on open audition. My mom just took me, like she saw it, and you know I'd already had a couple of commercials under my belt, and she took me, you know, to do that. And I got the audition and, you know, and landed the gig.
Yeah.
And so I was on, Saturday mornings. Like, so it started with like these little news blurbs. And, you know, like Ryan Cameron always makes fun of me when he sees me. He's like, you know, this is Jonte Austin for Kids Beat. And so, cause that was like the sign off.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
So you know, were Byron Allen.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Real early.
Yeah. Early. And so from there, but I always had a passion for music. And I was interviewing all these people on the show. You know, sports people, entertainment people, and then I ended up being able to go on Arsenio Hall, and he asked me, you know, if I wanted to do anything else in addition to what I was doing. I said I wanted to sing, and so he had me sing with the band, and then he kept me around for the whole show. Like I come back from commercial, I'm singing with the band, and he let me hang out. Yeah. Dave Chappelle was on that night, which is a completely.
You are pouring champagne.
Yeah. No, it's, you know.
Yeah,
man,
he's been around cool shit for a long time.
He's kind of told us that he did this before us too.
Yeah,
this thing too, not just the writing thing, but this as well. Like, you know, I was interviewing people. I'm like, shit, this is kind of what we're doing.
Yeah,
he did this.
I was doing that. It was, you know, like Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, all of these people.
You interviewed all of them. All these people,
absolutely
came through your show.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
We got to find the archives, man.
Yeah, so if you see my Instagram, every year on Michael Jackson's birthday, I post a picture of me and him.
Oh,
and it's this, you know, I'm like 13. I wore glasses back then.
Yeah.
I had a silk shirt on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Early.
Early.
Mm-hmm. Early.
See, was doing the silk shirts then.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And from there, on Arsenio, Tease Williams, who was an executive.
Yeah, you know, shout out Tease.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tease Williams saw it, and she called up to Turner and was like, you know, who is, like, got
his
in touch
kid,
with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, went up to New York and met Kenny Ortiz, who was at RCA Records. That was back in that. He had just signed SWV. Not just signed SWV. He signed him, and they had done well. Like, so they had done great. And so he was looking to sign, you know, someone else. And so he, you know, they flew me up, and, you know, Tease had made that introduction, and I got my first record deal with RCA Records. I was 13.
You were 13.
That was before I was, and that preceded the writing. I was just, all about the singing. It was, you know, and New York back in those days, you know, to see it, you know, walk through the office at the time, Rob Walker, who managed the Neptunes, was an assistant to this cat named Dino, who was another A&R. Steve Stout was up there working for Loud under Steve Rifkin. Yeah,
that's how the game go.
Yeah, just all of these people back in those times, yeah.
Oh, that's incredible, bro.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So you signed first to RCA or you signed to Jive? Which one?
I signed to RCA,
Okay.
Yep.
Because was it RCA Jive at that time?
No, it was just RCA.
Was separate. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Everything was separate back then. That was before it kind of, you know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I signed and, you know, was recording. That was back when, you know, that's how I hooked up with, you know, the like Joe and the Neptunes, like Kenny Ortiz had found early. the Neptunes early. Mm-hmm. This was back like, you know, Chad had to leave the sessions because he was still in school. Like he was going back to college and flying out. And, you know, that was back when, you know.
So did they work on your first album?
They worked on the first album. I still have like the demo of like a couple of the songs, oh, and we're like with like Joe singing the demos.
But to Neptune's beats,
yeah, that Pharrell had written,
writing for you,
what? For me at Dallas Austin at DARP, they were here, and this was back when, I mean. They had them staying in like this Holiday Inn that was like around. It was like a kick door hotel. So this is early Neptune. That's how I'm giving you the picture of how early Neptunes this is, and you know, and then you know they go on there.
And how did that process go though? I mean, because it's like, you know, you as an artist at 13, like, you know, you probably have some expectations too. I'm getting ready to be him. I'm thinking like I'm gonna be,
you know, huge. I'm about to do this album. It's about to drop. Because at the same time, you know, a childhood friend that I had met around 12, Usher, you know, was already out doing. He had called me a Mac out. So it's like, okay. Then he's, you know, he's about to drop Can You Get With It. It's like, oh man, I'm getting, you know, I'm next. I'm right behind my guy. And then I went through a voice change, and then the administration that brought me in, they got the axe. New administration came in.
They're like,
y'all know how that go. Y'all know how new administration.
All right, kids
beat. Exactly. All right, kids beat.
All right, kids beat.
Hit the road. We got another kid we want to sign. And that kid was Tyrese. That was, so that's how we get to.
Okay, let's get there. Let's get there. Because now you are faced with the music business.
Absolutely.
Right? Where it's 100%. Like, okay, we got this new kid and we want your song for this new kid.
Yeah. And it wasn't my so sweet lady, Troy Taylor, when he was with Charles Farrar, when they were the characters, they also worked on my album as well. And so, and Carl Thomas was writing. And so, you know, we had had a bunch of songs. So Troy's the one who really kind of pushed me into like, yo, you ever thought about writing? And I was like, you know, I mean, you know, he was like, you should try.
You hadn't written any song yet.
And really, you know, I kind of played around with it, but not
seriously.
So you
didn't write no songs for yourself?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Like I hadn't, you know, all of the songs I recorded, other people wrote.
Yeah. That's probably the problem then.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, no, the songs the greatest writers didn't write for himself. Shit.
That's, you know? That's where it starts.
Yeah. And so, Troy pushed me, and then we like landed a couple things on Jason Weaver, on 702. And so then
After you get out of your deal.
After I get out of my deal, you know, because that was now my way of just staying around the business. Like you say, the music business. And I just wanted to be around it, you know, biding my time until I could maybe get another shot at being an artist. And so I'm writing, and it's, you know, it's, I'm getting some placements here and there. And, you know, then I get a publishing deal. You know, Valerie Patton signs me to Chrysalis. I think I'm like 15 at the time. Like my mom had to sign the contract
with everything.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, but then fast forward. So I'm home, and you know, I get a call from Troy, and he's like, you know, listen, I got an opportunity for you, and if you're smart, you'll do it. And he was like, you know, if you're emotional, you won't do it. And I was like, okay. But this, you know, Troy setting it up. Y'all know Troy, you know what I mean? Troy setting it up. And so he's like, you know, the record, you know, because we had the hook for Sweet Lady. He's like, you remember Sweet Lady? And I was like, yeah. He was like, you know, I need some verses for, I need you to, you know, finish the verses. And we're going to do it. They want it for Tyrese. And I'm like, I don't want to help that nigga. He took my spot.
He took my,
you know, but then after you go, after you get that out for about 10 minutes, realize that, you know, he in Tyrese's mind, this is my spot. Like I'm trying right. to be an artist. I'm trying to be successful.
Had just to do
like
with you.
It had yeah. nothing to. I don't know you, bro. Like right. I don't, exactly. you know my what bad. I mean? Yeah, right. yeah. but you know, I got a deal.
Yeah.
I'm popping. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. From the commercials to the deal, and so yes. I was like, okay, I'm gonna write the verses. I wrote the verses, and that was back when you know this was before text. You couldn't, you know, send. Songs,
nothing
over the nothing. You know, over, you nothing over the anything. Phone, right? Yeah. You couldn't record nothing on your phone, so you know, Troy called me and like my answer machine pick up and let it play, and so I could hear it on the answer machine, and mm-hmm. then I wrote the verses, and I called back and left the melody of the verses on his answering machine with the lyrics. Like that's how we did songs over the. That's how yeah, we did songs yeah. over the phone back then.
Yeah,
that's great.
So sweet lady was written. You know the verses.
Written
the hook
was
done,
machine.
But it was done on an answering machine. Absolutely.
And that's your first like legitimate hit record.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
So before that, let's rewind a little bit. You do your first publishing. You're 15.
Mm-hmm.
What was that deal like? Do you remember that deal? Do you remember like the terms of that deal
and
the type of bridge you got
Absolutely.
At 15?
I remember. So I got in that deal based on my first commercial release was Mona Lisa's Can't Be Wasting My Time
okay.
on the Wayans Brothers soundtrack with the Lost Boys. Mm-hmm. So I signed, my first publishing deal was, it was for $80K.
Okay. 15, 80K, all
right. Yeah, shit.
How much you got up there? How much you got up front?
80. I got all 80K up front.
All 80?
I got all 80K up front.
Okay.
I got...
Because I got a small set of 25 up yeah. front. I didn't fuck with all that. I need it, though. I'm going to have to sell some more dope. So I'm going right. to take this 25,000, man.
Yeah. So, I got that up front. It was 3 years. And, you know, you have to meet your song delivery commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, MDRC.
To get through.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was four wholly written songs.
Yeah.
Which if you write 50%, that's eight songs. That's
people never do yeah. that math.
Right,
if you do
right.
25%, it's 12.
Exactly. It's in the contract. Wholly written
no.
songs.
They be like it's only five songs. I'm about to kill them. I'm like, no, you're not.
No, you're not. You need 10.
That's 10.
You need 10 or 15.
Released.
Yes, released. Not just recorded. And
released.
See, we're giving them contract
on a major
talk.
Label.
On a major label. Right. Yeah. So I went into suspension my first year.
I bet you did.
I didn't meet the commitment. Right. I didn't meet the commitment.
Yeah, you were cheating. Yes. The 100%er guy over here who was actually putting it out on his own album, too.
And you got to love
it. Some shit.
I love it.
Nah, it's amazing.
But my best clause in the contract was I got the reversion clause. So everything came back to me in 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 is
and
great.
And you were only 15 anyway.
Right.
So,
and it's 10 years after, you know, because I re-upped with them a few times. Mm-hmm. You know, Valerie and I stayed in business for a while over there at Chrysalis. And, but yeah, everything came back to me, I don't know, I guess about 2018. Yeah. So all of the stuff.
All of the stuff.
Yeah,
see what happens when you're not emotional?
Right, exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. Mm. No, I learned that early. I've had to relearn it.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Over and over and over again.
So Sweet Lady drops.
Sweet Lady drops.
I'm newly hanging out with Tyrese at that time.
Yeah.
Because RCA had signed a group called Elements of Life that was on the same production company I was signed to.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What was my guy that was over there? Kevin.
Oh gosh, Kevin, because that's who dropped me. Dang, I should know this. Kevin Evans. Yeah.
Kevin Evans.
And Anthony, oh gosh, who was right up under him? I can't remember his Anthony Morgan. I think it was Anthony Morgan.
So Kevin Evans, see, when he signed EOL, Elements of Life, then he was like, I went and sang and performed for him. He's like, we want you to.
You next.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm him.
Yeah.
I mean, not to fast forward, but then when Kevin got pushed out, I got pushed out too. So anyway.
See, you know it.
Come on, man.
I
sliced two times that way.
Yeah.
So this drops. I was meeting Tyrese for the first time. I'm like, this dude is different. That's when he had the thing right here.
Yeah.
And he was mad. because everybody thought he was Tyson Beckford.
He was
angry. Like we was walking the streets in New York and people, oh my God, Tyson. Man, no fucking Tyson. I was like, it's not a bad guy to
kind
be.
Kind of a cool thing.
Remind me to tell you.
Let's go.
We're at a New Year's party for the Christmas party that the mayor of Atlanta throws. This was during Kasim's, era. And a friend of my wife's, my wife had a bachelor party in Vegas, and they went to go see Tyson Beckford, you know, when he was doing the Chippendales, whatever it was.
One of those.
She goes up, my wife's friend goes up to Tyrese and was like, oh, so good to see you. We loved the show last week. You were amazing. And Tyrese is like looking at her like, you know, she's like in Vegas. We were at the show in Vegas. And, you know, and then she goes off. He leans over to me. He's like, she thinks I'm Tyson Beckford.
No fucking way. After all these
this
years.
This is recent?
This was...
Oh, Kasim, yeah. This is not too long ago.
2016, maybe.
After all these movies.
Still haunting him. Tyson Beckford is still haunting him.
You just a baby boy. You not the real McCoy.
Yeah.
So Sweet Lady drops. Mm-hmm. It's a smash. I can tell by the way Tyrese is walking. He's walking like he has a smash. He's talking smashy. What changes? I know everything changes, but what can you pick out at that moment when
it didn't get you
goes
out of suspension?
Of charts.
That by that time I had a couple of other songs come out, and so I was out of suspension. You know, I think by that time I had hooked up with Noontime. Mm-hmm. You know, we were, you know, still like getting our collaborations together. Mm-hmm. So it was like it felt good. It was like a validation because it's like, man, like now I'm turning on the radio all the time. And then you watch the song crack the top 10, you know, R&B, and it's like, you know, I think it made it to like number eight, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, this is a real bona fide, you know, record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think from there, it motivated me more to want to, you know, put more songs on the radio. Then it kind of became about, you know, you go from I want to write to I want to get placements. Mm-hmm. And then it's I want to get placements to now I want to get singles. Now it's like, you know, it goes from I want to get singles to now I want to get first singles, seconds. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be, you know. And then from there, it's like, I want us to be the go-to guys. Like, now you come to us.
Yeah, because it's like before you actually have a hit record, and even sometimes when you do have that first hit record, one or two, you're a guy that people will listen and accept records for. Mm-hmm. But there becomes a point in time when it's like, okay, let's book the session.
Yes, there's a
process.
Let's
a real process.
Get Jante in with X, Y, and Z. We're not
exactly because Jante's record is going to be our single.
He's going to deliver
something. He's going to deliver our single.
He's going to deliver something. When did that change? When did that happen for you?
Ah, man, I think that happened. Man, it was because it was post Sweet Lady. I think we started to get those opportunities. It was two records. When B-Cox and I did Get Gone for Ideal,
which I love.
Thank you.
I love that record.
That was, you know.
Man, I think you leave.
Me.
Yeah, alone.
Pack your bags.
Yes.
Get the hell on.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you
no more. Yeah.
That record was great,
That was inspired by a real person.
I bet it was.
It absolutely was.
This was before you could block people.
Yes, this was, you know, she also inspired I Miss You for Aaliyah. But, you know, back in the day when she used to try to bring that up, I would be quick. You know, I inspired I Miss You. I would also be like, you also inspired Get Gone. So there's that.
I feel you. You
also inspired this one. So
I'm not
going to
do it because I married mine. I'm not even going to do it.
No.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, it was Get Gone, because that record showed, like, these guys can do records on new artists.
Yeah.
and get a new artist popping.
Break it around.
You know what I mean?
Break,
so that's one thing, artists, yeah. You know, and then for me, it was like the second time because we had Tyrese and now we have Ideal. But then...
Who did that track? Was that...
B-Cox.
B-Cox, okay.
Yeah, B-Cox did Get Going. Yeah, yeah.
The guy, one of the guys from Ideal was his cousin or something, right?
It's no, it's like, Donnie Scance.
Donnie Scance is his cousin. Cousin.
Yeah.
Who produced I Don't Wanna. Donnie and Jazzy Faye produced I Don't Wanna.
Yeah.
And then when I Don't Wanna came, then it was like, okay, these guys are for real. They're doing real hits.
Yeah.
Because you, like, I Don't Wanna went number two on the charts with no video. And, you know, and we all from the era of, like, how important videos were. You had to have a video, you know. And, you know, number two, it was on the Next Friday soundtrack before it was on Romeo Must Die.
Mm-hmm.
So
wait, it was on two soundtracks?
It was on two soundtracks. It was on Next Friday first.
Boy, you was getting paid.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Shit, what did you buy?
Man,
what's the first crazy Jante?
Was it the Benz?
Purchase.
It might have been that Benz.
Mm. I mean,
it might have been that Benz.
550 was not on the streets.
Nah, it was not on the streets. Yeah, it was brand new.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that was it. Yeah.
Did you have to pay the overage to be the first guy?
No. Man, I found a guy in Athens, Georgia who got one for me. And I drove up to Athens and you know, drove it back.
Yeah,
y'all was killing that. That noontime parking lot.
The same way you'll travel for a woman, you'll travel for that car.
You'll travel for a car.
Yeah. You got them right.
I flew to L.A. to pick up a car once.
Huh? As you should.
And shipped it back, but I
need to see it. I'm gonna fly out there.
Yeah, yeah.
When your money get different.
You know. You've been rich for a long time, bro.
Yeah, when your money get different.
Yeah, yeah.
You have particular tastes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I need to see it. I need to.
I need to, I need to.
Let me see. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because all new cars don't smell the same.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Cash.
I wanted to see how, because I had just gotten the black card. And so I wanted to see.
The heavy one.
Right. Yeah, the one that like made.
It clinks when you drive that.
Now a lot of cards are made out of that, but like the black was the first.
First one.
And I was just like.
Wanted to see if I can do the whole thing.
And I handed them and they swipe it and I'm like, wow, that's cool.
The whole card.
That's cool.
Come on for the whole card. For the whole card.
Awesome. I need to know this too.
Yeah.
How old were you with a black card? And for people that don't understand, he's talking about the American Express.
Centurion.
Huh,
right.
Huh. I can't spell that.
Right. Centurion.
Centurion. Yeah.
And it's the unlimited.
You can go purchase a jet.
Yeah.
They're going to want that jet money.
They're going to want the jet money, but
you can go purchase one.
By the time I got this, I was like 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 25.
I'm just a small 25. Set of 25.
Small set of 25.
Small set of 25.
25, this is, you know, just, we belong together is out. This is all of it. Everything is.
So that means he wrote We Belong Together at 24.
Yeah, right.
What?
Yeah, around. Man. Yeah, I think we were around that time.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, at that time it was, you know, I was, you know.
You was in it.
I was in it for the good and for the bad.
Huh.
For the good and for the bad.
My question as we go through these progressions with, you know, so many records, what are you feeling as, what is the artist Jonte Austin feeling like? Because there has to be moments within all of this where you're like,
these are my children.
This could be my time. This could have broke my career as an artist.
Like, yeah.
Maybe I should.
Absolutely. I said it 100 times. I said it 100 times. I'm conflicted about, you know, giving records away. I'm conflicted about. It was almost like, you ever see the movie Happy Gilmore?
Yes.
You know how like he started doing really well at golf, but he kept telling people he was a hockey player.
Like,
you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm an artist, mm-hmm. and you know, but I'm like, I want to hold on to something. And my manager, Chris Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would always have to talk me out. He would say, listen, the only reason you hang on to records is if you are not confident that you can make another one. But I believe you can make another one. So let's give that we have an opportunity to place these records and put these records on people who are coming out. You'll get your shot. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it's going to happen. Right. But it is frustrating. It was frustrating because, like, even though I'm making all of these hits, I'm like, you know, man, I've, you know, I can do this. Like, you know, I'm singing the demos. They're, you know, they're doing my demo note for note.
Yeah. Note for yeah. note.
You know what I mean?
Bar for bar.
Bar for bar. Right. Right. So it's like.
So you're hearing yourself right. on the radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or a version of yourself.
Yeah. 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 So it's,
That's
you
tough.
Know.
It's tough.
Like to the point where, like when we were talking about when Can't Help But Wait came out for Trey Songz, like getting calls like, you wrote that, didn't you? I can tell. I can. It's your.
Even yeah. we just talked about because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about. I was like, I'm replaying the record in my mind, and I mm-hmm. just hear you. Your vibrato. Your. I hear the whole thing. I was like, that's for damn sure a Jonte Austin record that yeah. Jonte Austin could have did.
Yes. Yeah.
Could have put out easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so it becomes
and
frustrating.
And you changed his life.
Right. Right. And you're happy for that. Like, yeah, you're not, yeah. like, I'm not happy that anybody else got a hit. It's just kind of like your own personal war that you're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, what do I have to do? You know, like, because I'm celebrating their success and not jealous of it, but man, I would like to be an artist as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, we kept writing.
What's the record that you didn't want to give away? Is there one that you just like, fuck.
Man, I'm trying to, what's a, there's one that stands out. I'm just trying to think if that's the one I want to go with. I think it might have been, no, it wasn't Can't Help But Wait because we did that specifically for Trey with Stargate. I think I Don't Wanna. Like at the time, because it wasn't for Aaliyah okay. yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we did it and then Chris heard it. Chris Hicks heard it and was like, oh, this is getting played, you know, for Aaliyah.
I was there too.
Yeah, yeah. You were in the at Sony Studios in New York.
You were just
Yeah.
We was like, that nigga cold, man.
Oh, man. Thank
that
you.
That nigga fucking writes. He Tank, you need to write like that. You see how he writing? Like, I will copy your doubles. Like, be without you. Be. I was like, yeah. Okay, so I need to repeat some stuff, right? Okay, yeah, yeah. He do some dope repeats. And then you would do the you would do yeah. the telephone echoes. And you need the telephone echoes. Turn the telephone yeah. on, man. Chante's doing the telephone. Like, all that stuff.
The telephone kind of was like an early auto-tune thing.
It,
right?
it, yeah.
like,
but it
was an
I think I was the one of the first
there.
People.
Yeah.
Who, it was,
because that's where I learned it.
Yeah. You would get excited about the telephone.
Oh, telephone come effect. On. Yeah. I was like, this.
Yeah. Put the telephone
we
on.
We gotta use the telephone, man.
Put the telephone on. Absolutely.
Why you can't EQ the telephone right?
Yeah.
So I got that from y'all.
So I'm the going telephone. To interview y'all real quick. Yeah. No, real quick. Yeah. Real quick. Come over.
Oh.
Come over.
Yeah.
I got both of you guys in the room.
Yeah.
And for a long time, people did not know that was Tank's voice.
Yeah.
People didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And because I want to, were you even credited on there?
I didn't get credited on there until late.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so people
until
just
until people
did,
found
they,
out.
Right.
Right.
And then they, I think people themselves just credited me and then somehow it ended up as a credit.
So as a
but
fan.
But it's not on the project.
So as a fan
credit.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
I need the backstory. I have to have the backstory, man.
So let me give you my perspective, because his perspective is more important.
Yeah, but I've heard him tell it, and I love it, because he's spot on.
His is more important. We're at another studio
mm-hmm.
recording.
Yep.
It's me. I think Jerry's with me. I don't know if Cliff is with me.
You were down at Chunk King, right? Because we were at Sony. You guys were you
probably,
at Chunk King?
Yeah, probably, yeah. probably.
I think so.
And he was like... He's like, Aaliyah recording around the corner. I was like, oh, shoot, let's go over there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Check on her and see what's going on. And so, you know, we walk in the streets of New York, about to run into the Aaliyah session. As mm-hmm. soon as we walk in, she like, ooh, Tank can do it. And then Jonte's like, Tank can do it.
Yep. I was like,
you have no music out at this point.
No.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
But we knew he was a singing ass nigga.
Right, right. 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 But you're everybody. No longer a background singer anymore either? Or are you still a background
kinda
singer?
Kind of for Genuine.
Okay.
I'm fighting to be.
You still want to do it?
I damn right.
I mean, to this day, you still want to
I still want to sing backgrounds for Genuine right now.
To this day.
I want to sing backgrounds.
Yeah. She's the
best. And Jonte was like, get in the booth. I was like, this is wild. I just want to say
just
hi.
Got here, just got man. Here, man.
Right, yeah.
Just get in the booth. And Jonte, of course, Jonte sings. Ooh. He gives me the notes. Yeah. Like this thing, give me.
Yeah.
And I sing that. I think we spent about like 5-10 minutes on that. Sing that. Like, that's
I was
it.
Like a stack it. Because he put like a mid note. Oh. It was mad. It was crazy.
And I just come out the booth and I'm like,
that's it.
Cool. And we're just talking.
Think
and Leah's,
nothing of it.
And Leah's just talking to me about my style and what I need to do and you need to dress like. And you know, you like a one man Jodeci and you better. And Jonte's like, yeah. You here? Do the thing.
Yeah.
But Jonte was like, you know, when we listen to the record, like, I'm in there taking notes. Because I had already heard this record.
Okay.
I had already heard the record. Mm-hmm. And then when he put her on, I was just like, this nigga's cold. Because I was in line. You know what I'm saying? It was him and it was Static. So for my label, Static. You know, even at Blackground, you know what I'm saying? Their go-to was, we need Static. Or we need Jonte.
Yeah.
So I was in line just kind of waiting my turn to be sick. Waiting for my, again, I would say for my writing to get on that level. Because I wasn't there yet. You know what I'm saying? So these were the guys that I was just kind of like watching kind of in awe of. You know what I'm saying? So when they put me in the studio on that, I didn't think nothing of it. But then, you know, as it looks in 2023... Wow, thank you.
Absolutely. It's a man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now give us the, before he gets to the studio.
Okay, yeah. So we were in there. So Aaliyah had cut most of the record. And, you know, hearing this part, it's like, okay, like, you know, it's got to be somebody that's, because she was like, I think somebody else should do this. Oh. And so we was like, okay. Because it was, you know, the story of Come On. So she's calling, you know, her dude. And so it was like, okay.
She just touched down.
Story-wise, right. Quarter after two.
Yeah.
So,
know what that is.
Yeah. So we thought like, okay, at this point of the story is, you know, him participating now. Like, you know what I mean? And so it was like a call out back to her.
Okay.
And so he's like, you know, man, who could sing this shit? Like, who, you know? And we going through, like, you know, I think Usher might have come up, you know, we throwing people out.
Right.
And then Tank walks in and we're like, Tank can do it.
That's crazy.
And we said, I think we said G. I think we did say Genuine. So it was like,
so
but
you never walk, go check on your friend. Just, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
That's great.
But that's like such, that's the.
Yeah.
That's the juice of the song, right? Yeah, like, that part. Like, that's the sing-along part. That's the, you know, that's the flavor.
And then, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you get another check for it. Because Kehlani.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For Can I.
Absolutely.
Which is odd, Kehlani, that you didn't call Chief to come and do his part again. Right. I mean, he might have done it for you. He might have done it for you. I'm pretty
sure. I would have did it.
Yeah.
Call me on stage sometimes. Sold out shows.
Sold out shows, yes.
Yeah,
no.
Man.
So
that leads me to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to be sampled at this younger age that you are? Like, you're not 70, 80 years old where you got to clear the sample. You're like, oh, who? Yeah. What is these young punks that want to do my song? Right. Send it to me.
I don't like what he's saying on my tunes.
Yeah, I don't really like what he's saying on that. Yeah. My wholesome song into a whole song.
Into a nasty record.
But, you know, you still a young dude, man. Now, they're sampling your music.
Already.
Kehlani, Bryson Tiller.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're sampling your records already.
Absolutely. No, it's a great feeling. I mean, and it makes, you know, it makes you feel seen because it's like, okay, the younger generation, you know, it's funny that you say like the 70-year-old guy, right? Because you don't want to be that. And
I've had to call a couple of them to clear some stuff. So that's why.
Exactly.
I'm
it's
not
like,
taking
you know,
shots at y'all. I'm sorry. Okay.
They feel like, you know, but I don't want to be the person that's like, oh, you know. You know, music should be this way. You know, you got to have more respect and blah, 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 because when I meet young writers, young artists, young producers, what I've learned is they do respect it.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. They follow it. Like, they have nothing but respect and admiration. Yeah. That's why they're sampling. Like, they're paying you a compliment, you know, to me. So, like...
And a check.
And a check. So, when it comes through, like, you know, I'm like, it's... I always listen for the creativity of it. Like, wow,
Have you ever not cleared something?
I'm trying to see. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. You know what? No, I think there might have been like an EDM version of, I can't remember, of something I might not have cleared.
You don't like EDM.
I love EDM, but
Tank loves EDM. That's why
it wasn't for whatever reason.
They didn't do it right.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like, you know, something that I'm hearing in just like a one way bar in Amsterdam, you know, like off the,
like,
but not in a fly way, not the fly Amsterdam that we're talking. Okay. Nothing. Okay. I love Amsterdam.
If you're going to sample Jante Austin's records,
do it right.
Make sure it's fly.
Make sure it's fly.
This guy, right? This guy is fly.
This guy's fly.
This guy's fly.
I mean,
you know,
make sure his music is fly.
Yeah. Okay? Absolutely, absolutely.
I want to talk about your experience with Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Because that's, you know.
Before we get to Mariah Carey, I do have to let y'all know, for I Don't Want It, you know Aaliyah didn't want to cut that.
No, I did not know that.
She didn't want to cut that one. She wasn't sold on I Don't Want It. She wanted to cut I Miss You. That was what got us to New York. And, you know.
So how do you sell? Because
yeah.
Now the writers need to see this.
Yeah.
They need to hear
this.
How do you sell a major superstar? How do you sell them the record that they don't want, but you know that they need?
Right. So, you know, I can't take credit for that. That was all Chris Hicks.
Okay.
Who made the, he was like, I tell you what, let's make a deal. You can cut I Miss You, but you have to cut this one as well.
Okay.
That's the deal. And she was like, okay. And then when she got on it, it was.
Chris has always been good with conversation.
He's, absolutely. He's, yeah, I know. He can.
He's all,
he can, yeah.
Oh, he can finesse.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he's always had to.
Absolutely.
He, is, he is from the Bay Area.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Hey, man. Say, man.
So, it's light and easy when he's saying, too.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? This feels right.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
I like the way you're talking to me. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do
So, you know, so that's how we got her on it.
Wow.
And that was it. So Mariah Carey, yes.
What is that call like?
So the call comes from JD.
Okay.
JD's like, you know, come to studio tonight. At this point, you know, obviously JD has such a long history with her, you know, starting with Always Be My Baby, going back to that, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, now B. Cox has done, you know, songs with her. So they're like a nucleus. And but I was excited. So he's like, you know, Mariah's going to be here tonight, you know, come down. And, you know, she gets there and Mariah doesn't show up till like midnight. That's her session. Session starts at midnight. She's a night owl.
Okay.
Absolutely. Likes to write and work, you know, late. So, you know, at the time I've had to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
The first day I showed up, I was there like 6 p.m. Just
so you there 6 hours. Okay.
Yeah. Where she at?
Okay, you didn't crash by 12.
Right, like, no, but I'm like, you know, let me know now. Let me know when she coming. You know, let me know. Because I'm here. I'm ready.
But I'm be right back.
Right.
And this is levels, right? Yeah. Because I'm sure at this point you have massive records by this point.
Yeah.
But you don't have a Mariah record.
We don't have a Mariah. Right. This is still Mariah. So what is interesting is that this is Mariah coming off of Glitter, movie, and this. Mm-hmm. And so there were a couple of people around me who were like, why are you going to spend your time on this?
Right,
like,
right.
And
they thought the ship had sailed.
Mm-hmm. I have a fast rule about legends. Like, legends stay legends.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like.
You earned that.
Right.
You've earned that.
You've earned that. And you're always one hit away. I don't care if you ain't had a hit in 10 years.
Yeah.
If you call, you know what I mean? That's how I feel about legends. And at that point, you know, this is One Sweet Day come walking through the door.
Right.
Like, what do you mean if we don't write for?
Yes, we do. And we're going to look into these cameras.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
That's what it should be.
They've earned it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you are a hit maker, go give them that hit record.
100%. 100%. So Mariah gets there, and I'm just sitting in the corner just quiet. Her and Jermaine and Brian are catching up. And
you're the fly on the wall at this point.
Just fly on the wall, just sitting. Because, again, this is after Aaliyah, This is after Chris Brown. This is after, you know what I mean? This
yeah,
is
we'll
after.
We'll get to CB too.
Yeah, this is.
On and popping.
Yeah. This is
all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, after about 30 minutes, we're sitting there. The first song that Jermaine played, the song Can I Get Your Number? And they already had that, him and Brian already had that hook. And so he was like, okay. She was like, oh, I want to start with this. Let's like do some verses. And so then, you know, she turns. She's like, and who are you? And I'm
it
like,
starts
right,
that way.
Right. Yeah. She was like, and she was like, who are you? She was like, I'm guessing you. She's like, are you a part of this? And I was like, I look at Jermaine, and Jermaine is like, yeah, yeah, he writes with us. And she was like, okay, all right, let's write. Let's start. Like, it wasn't no, what have you done?
Yeah, no.
You know, just like, okay, cool. I just need to know who you were. Yeah, yeah. And now we're good. And then, you know, we hit it off from there. And Mariah is like a brilliant songwriter in her own mm-hmm. right. So, mm-hmm. you know, being able to collaborate with someone like, so the experience of someone who can write for themselves, like she doesn't really need anyone to write,
mm-hmm.
you know, but throwing out ideas, the way that she hears things, the way that she rhymes words and melodies. And then you're also hearing her sing.
Mm.
And so it's like one of those moments. The first time I had a moment like that, we go back to Tony Braxton, but it was like the second time when I first worked with Tony, and Tony walks in the booth and you like hear that
you
voice
hear
come
it.
Over the mic, and
yeah,
you're like,
oh, that's it.
This is Tony Braxton.
That's it.
And the same yeah. thing. So yeah. before Mariah even went on mic, just her sitting there with the pad writing and she's humming, and I'm like trying not to like smile, but I'm like, yeah. damn, yeah. this is Mariah Carey.
Yeah. I think I had that moment. When we worked on Ron Isley.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Man, I That's, was like.
He hit one of them notes. He hit one of them
yeah,
la-da-da.
Man.
It's him.
This is a yeah. dream come true.
Yeah.
It's him.
He's really yeah. in the booth right
He's
now.
He's really in the booth.
Singing one of my records.
Yeah. What? When did you have that moment? Any artist for you?
I'm like the fan.
You are.
You know.
Absolutely. 100%.
So everybody, when they get in them like this.
yeah,
cause yeah. it's like I don't know, man. It's an unexplainable feeling. It's just like
to have these type of people singing your record.
To, mm-hmm. Just to yeah. have the voice, like you've heard this voice everywhere. You've heard this voice yeah. on massive records. You've yeah. heard, you're
yes.
a fan of this voice, and now yeah. this voice, in a sense, belongs to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're a part of this voice
yes.
now.
You're like, sharing in this experience
Gladys
with
Knight.
Them. That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
That's a great one.
Gladys, that was my first time where I was just like,
no way.
yeah.
Like, first of all, she sang it in one take.
And yeah, that's a whole yeah. other.
Literally one top yeah. to bottom.
Yes.
She yeah. studied it for about 10-15 minutes, played it over and over. So and she said, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. We'll set it all up. Set it all up. She went in there. Top to bottom.
It's incredible.
No auto-tune
nah.
stuff. You know, just some slight verb. Raw. Top to bottom. What else would you like?
That's it. That's how they, that's how they do it.
I looked at the engineer. I was like.
You don't even know what to say. Like.
Maybe we should tell her to do it again. Just
right. I got to feel like I did something here, right?
You know
like,
what I'm saying? I'm going to just tell her.
She's not going to call me back.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to tell her to do it again. Okay. Great. Yes. Let's get one more.
One more like
let's
that.
Let's just get yeah. one more and just see where we end up. See what we got to. She did one more.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
To bottom.
Flawless.
That's crazy.
Fuck it. Come out.
Yeah.
Come on out. Come on.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Knight.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Knight, for coming by. God bless you. Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So do you write Shake It Off in that first session?
So we did Can I Get Your Number the first night. Second night was Shake It Off.
Okay.
Second night was Shake It Off.
Who did the oots? Oot, oot, oot,
oot, oot.
Who did
so
that?
We had the mic. On the demo, it was me, Mariah, and Mariah's assistant.
No, whose idea was the oots?
That was Mariah.
Because that's some classic shit.
That's Mariah. It is. Absolutely. I got to give her her props. I got to give her,
and, and boop-ops. Yeah. And those I've never written a song that with any of those classic old, like.
That everybody in the crowd is going to sing.
Just going to sing. All the way up. Never written a song with that. I was like this.
She was a vibe.
Man, what?
A real vibe.
That's MC all. That's classic MC all day. All day. So yeah, can I get your number? Shake It Off. It's Like That.
Oh shit!
And then we were done. Those were all in those sessions, and you know, so L.A. Reid, you know, who was the head of Def Jam at the time, he was like, "Listen, like, I feel like we got something. I feel like, you know, Shake It Off can probably be our first single, but I think y'all got one more in you, so I'm going to send her back down." And that was the We Belong Together session. That was the, you know, so it started with L.A. It's like, I think y'all got one more. And sent her back down, you know. This time it was Manuel Seal.
Hey, listen, man. And because unless you're in the music business, don't really know that name.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, he never really came outside like that.
No.
But if you in this music business, Manuel Seal is fucking special. I hope you see this, brother.
Absolutely. You are absolutely special. Manuel. Yeah.
You're special. That guy is special.
100%.
Those records that he's been a part of,
mm-hmm.
incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So, go. You know, we give,
you
we
have
give
to.
Real
you have to.
Respect, real shout outs, flowers. Like, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
We respect the game up here.
No, you have to. And that's why it's important for me to bring him up, too. Like, yes. You know, because there is, you know, these big songs, I feel like there could probably be some temptation to, like, want to hoard credit for yourself. Yes. But there's enough for everyone. And everybody made such a significant contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I tell people, like, you know, it's Mariah and I wrote We Belong Together. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, she was just as much, you know, it wasn't like, oh, a word here, a word there. No, Mariah's in the studio writing this record. We wrote a song together. Manuel and JD, you know, produced it. And so we worked on this record. It was like, we worked till like 5-6 in the morning. And I laid the demo for it. And
there's a Jante demo to We Belong
there's
Together.
There's a Jante demo to We Belong Together.
Wow. No,
we gotta can we figure out a way to sell that as an NFT?
Right.
I want it. I just came up with that. I don't know.
You know who probably has it is LA, because he told me later, he was like, I knew she was going to have something, because she left Atlanta from the studio, landed in New York, and L.A. was like, she woke me up and was like, you have to hear this record. She came by and played him my demo. Like, that's how excited she was about the record. Yeah. Like, you got to hear this song.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Gonna go pick up my son after this, and we're gonna roll tonight.
Oh, that's dope, bro. That's super dope. That's super dope. Oh, yeah. That guy is turning his piano on. We about to put some pressure on the pressure man himself, because I mean he wrote that too.
Yes.
Come on, don't act like I don't know my shit. We still writing hits to this day.
Yeah.
Look, shout out to Ari Lennox. That's the homegirl.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You've written a lot of songs.
Man, we haven't probably even got to half of them.
We haven't gotten to a third of things you've done. But there were a lot of songs written before you.
Oh, yes.
That might have inspired you to become the man you are. We would like to tap into the greatness that you consider great.
Oh, yes.
By understanding your top five. Your top five. Top five. Your top five. R&B singers.
Teddy Pendergrass, yeah.
Your top five.
Ooh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Sergeant Chocolate!
Take it, sing it.
Yes!
Take it, sing it.
Jonte Austin, your top five R&B singers.
Stevie Wonder.
Start off.
Come on.
Otis Redding.
Woo!
Sam Cooke.
No.
Come on now. Come
Why
on
are
with
you
it.
Acting like this.
Whitney Houston.
Yes. The Voice.
The Voice, right. Of all voices, right. I'm riding with the home team. I'm going Usher.
Come on.
You got to go home.
I'm going with the home team.
You got to go home. You got to do the right thing.
Absolutely. I'm going with the squad. I'm rocking with the squad. Absolutely.
Not bad. Not mad at you at all.
Yeah.
Top five R&B songs.
As by Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm. Kick it off.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When a Woman's Fed Up.
La da 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 da.
La.
La.
Oh, la la la.
Oh, now.
Yeah.
You don't want to find out the hard way.
Then oh, listen now. To the song.
Listen to the song.
Yeah.
While the record plays.
Yeah, so let's see. As When a Woman's Fed Up, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson's Lady in My Life.
Yes.
I think that's made it to the top five a few times.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the last two, but real quick, I asked JD one time, if Michael came to you to work, you know, would you work with him? He was like, man, nah, I tell him to go back to Quincy. That's where he belongs. And I was like, you know, but we can do some records for Michael. He was like, not like they can do them. I say, you don't think we could do like a, we've done a Lady in My Life. JD goes, when the hell we did one of them? I'm here every day. I ain't seen one of them get out the door. When they got out the door? I said, oh shit. Like, so, woo! Just, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Lady in My Life, Never Too Much, Luther Vandross.
Yeah. What's that sound in the beginning of that song? What is that? What is that? Before it kick in, it's this sound that comes in the beginning of that song, bro.
It could be a bass.
It's
a bass or something. It's just like slides.
Or the worm? Did they worm it?
Man,
yeah, something.
It's the call out to me.
Yeah. And Adore by Prince. What a record.
What an artist. But I got something else for him, Chief. We've never done this.
What haven't you done?
I want to know your top five songwriters. Because you are who you are, brother.
Yeah.
I would like to know your top five songwriters.
That's very good.
One of my picks is going to be controversial, so we'll save him at the end.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I've already named one of his songs, so I guess. So Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lionel Richie.
Ah.
Yeah.
Lionel.
Yeah, the man who bought Beverly Hills.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Off the pen.
You're
talking about pimping your pen.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pimping.
R. Kelly.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jermaine Dupri.
Ooh.
Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Say what you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a great list. Thank you, brother. Because we're all fans.
Yeah.
No matter what, if we do it or not, we're all fans.
Yeah.
So for you, and how I look at you as a songwriter, for you to tell me who your five guys are, five women, whatever it is,
Like,
that's amazing.
Amazing. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. I like your list. We're going to make the Voltron.
Okay.
We're going to assemble your R&B artists, the greatest, the super. Who you getting the vocal from? the performance style from, the styling from, the passion of that artist, and who's going to write for that artist.
Okay.
Vocal.
Vocal, Stevie Wonder again. Stevie is.
Up tempos, mids, ballads.
Yes. Right.
Acapella.
Straight ahead. Yeah. Vocal, acrobatics, however you want it.
Does it all.
Yeah.
Performance style.
Michael Jackson.
That's going to be fucking nuts.
Stevie voice, Michael perform.
Nuts.
Yeah.
He's not gonna be. Yeah. He's not gonna be an alien.
Because you also get Stevie playing too. Because it's his voice that he has to play too.
Yeah, that's how he sings like
you gotta,
that. Because he
got to get
like
on
that.
The harmonica.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the styling.
The styling. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Hey, Frank was a fly motherfucker, man.
My friend, they call me Sinatra. They call me Johnny Sinatra. So,
you know, so I do.
So, clean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
The passion of the artist, the heart.
Usher.
That's hard working.
No one works harder than that guy.
Diligent.
Absolutely.
He roller skates and sings. Man. Absolutely. We say that all the time. It's like, well, how many hours do you need to prepare?
You need 10,000 hours of roller skating.
He's hitting the same handstand in his 40s.
The one time where the dancer bumped into him and he turned it into a move.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm not going to fall on these skates like that.
Come on, man.
Nah. Not in front of all these people.
I'm too nice.
I'm about to robe out, nigga.
I'm too nice. I'm about to robe out.
Sweetness, nigga.
Sweetness. I'm too nice with this.
Yeah, I'm nice with it.
Absolutely.
I think he kind of like turned into like a half split man, too. Like, I said, oh, come on, bro.
I'm sick of all of it.
You cheat.
That's the point.
You cheat. Yeah.
Who's writing for this artist?
I know who I want to write that song.
Man. That's a...
You better not give it away.
That's kind of a toss-up.
Of what?
But, you know, can I say I'm writing for
you? You got that right to say you.
Listen, I was ready to fight you.
Yeah, I'm writing for
you. You got this mega artist and you ain't going to write the song?
You goddamn right you better write it.
He like, man, I don't want to give away my songs.
No, right. I'm still a frustrated artist. Can't you tell?
Man. You goddamn right you writing for them.
Yes, I'm writing for them.
Yeah.
Damn, man. Come on.
Writing an all-timer.
All-timer. For the... Third or fourth time.
Thank you.
Yeah. What you got, Chief? What you got?
Ooh.
Come on.
More songs.
Yeah.
I ain't saying no names. Where you was? Who you was with? What you did? Don't say she. Yeah. I ain't saying no names.
We here, dog. We here now. He just popped his collar.
Okay.
So you know, you watch the show. Mm-hmm. You know how this thing goes, man.
Yeah.
We're here. This is the I Ain't Saying No Name segment where you tell us your story, a story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up,
mm-hmm.
in the travels and the times. Of Jonte Austin.
Okay, here we go.
Hold on. This is Jonte Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Kids beat.
Oh, God.
Kids beat.
Huh? This. If you've ever met a young lady that you wanted to be a sweet lady.
Jeez, he started with kids beat.
Huh?
Cocaine is involved in this story.
Oh, shit.
Shit, let's go.
They can't be without you. Sometimes you can't be without the, you can't be without the, you feel.
You feel.
So, I ain't saying no names.
Yeah.
But, so we're in, well, I'm going to say a couple names, but it has nothing to do with, you know, but we're in Vegas working on the Raymond versus Raymond album. This is the formation of the whole Oceans thing and whatever. And I was beefing with someone else in the music business. They were not in Vegas with us.
Beefing, though.
I was beefing over a lady.
Mm.
I was emotional. I was
Carl Thomas.
Carl Thomas emotional.
Look at me. I can't stop crying.
Yeah.
My heart is slowly dying.
I was reaching for rain.
Yeah.
I'm grasping. Yeah,
she had you.
You know, Jess. And I had, you know, was in the, you know, the heights of just a really stellar drug problem. You know, it was one for the books. I went through a period where I did enough cocaine to probably kill a Kentucky Derby level thoroughbred horse. But so I'm, you know, just upset at this person. And we go out to Dre's.
And you high.
I'm high and I'm rifling shots.
Shit.
Someone, you know, and I'm just venting. I think JD or B. Cox makes a joke about it. I storm out of Dre's by myself. I've left everybody in there and I...
And you can't just storm out of Dre's because
no, you have to see elevator.
You elevators and stairs.
I stormed the hallway. I'm out of breath, but I have stormed out of this place.
Yeah, yeah. But you also have performing enhancing drugs.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
So then I go to the Spearmint Rhino.
Why not?
And I'm in the Spearmint Rhino, just me and my lonesome in the VIP. And, you know, I start to feel sick. I go to the bathroom and I throw up. And then I feel better. And what would really make me feel better is if, you know, I did another bump and that would, like, get me back to where I was, right? And so now I'm in the zone.
I'm just going to do one more bump.
And so this was the era of two ways. Mm, not two ways. Blackberries.
Blackberries.
Okay.
I send off an email at about 5 o'clock Vegas time and, you know, talking about how, you know, I need people around me who are solid. I need people around me who are going to ride for me. And if you are not for me, then you are against me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Send it to all of the crew in Vegas. Send it to Mark Pitts. Send it to Barry Weiss, who was the head of, like, a couple of other executives. Send it to everybody but the person I'm mad at. Who has no idea that I'm mad at him, by the way. And, yeah, and then fired off of, you know, that text. I won't say who the person was, but... and then the next day, just rolled into the studio, like nothing. Happened. Well, first I had to, the aforementioned black card, I left that in the Spearmint Rhino, so I had to go back and get that. But I wasn't the only one, because the person, I was like, you know, I left my Amex here last night, you know, which one is it? I'm like, you know, it's the black card. That doesn't narrow it down. And I'm like, wow. So there was one more.
It was a few of us.
I didn't feel bad. And so I go to the studio the next day, like nothing happens. Usher comes in and, you know, sits down. We're at the board and all he does is he goes, "You okay?" And I'm like, "Yep." He's like, "Okay." So that's my, I ain't gonna say who it
the
is.
The name.
Yeah. The name.
Because you said all the other names.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna say the name. Somebody had you in a frenzy.
Oh my gosh. What was wrong with me? I was tripping.
The matters of the heart, man. It happens.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And cocaine.
And cocaine.
Yeah.
Make the heart explode,
probably. we're glad that your heart didn't explode.
Me
bro.
Too. Woo. Yeah.
Crazy enough, I never knew you was on cocaine, brother.
Thank you.
I never knew that.
He said, thank you.
Yeah. I never knew that.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, welcome back.
I'm off it, by the way, just, you know, for years. So there you go.
Well, yeah, man, we need you, man.
Yeah.
Need you bad, brother.
Yeah, now I'm running and doing jujitsu. So, things you need your heart for. So, I'm keeping it clear. Yeah.
That's great, man. Yeah. Yo, Mr. Jonte Austin, Sinatra.
Yeah. Now you really are Sinatra.
Now you are Sinatra boy.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, brother. I mean, you know, we've
it's been great.
We've been doing this for too long, man. And you know, just outside of friendships and brotherhood, man, just what you've done.
Thank you.
As a peer, you know what I mean? Like, you are, shit, you're him.
You're him.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me. Yeah. I've been looking forward to doing this.
Yeah, yeah, no, we needed to have, it's the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
Absolutely.
How do we not have you?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You know, so you're on the board of authorities.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. I appreciate
that. We're
about
to start sending the names to you like, yo, you think they could come on? What you think?
There it is.
If Jontay say you ain't of the claw.
Right. You ain't quite.
That one swivel chair nigga that passed up on that record.
He can't come.
We love you, brother, man.
I love you guys, man. Thank you.
That's all. You're the greatest.
Thank you, guys. Love.
My name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B. And we've just had our brother in one of the greatest songwriters of all time, Mr. Jontay Austin.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
R&B Money!
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/R&B Money.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.